Hey, look at Katie. Instagram really quickly to see if I can see anything.
Hello.
So I don't know about you, but not having sun in the whole month of June has really fucking dampened my mood. I don't know about
but
you.
But are you ready for it to be 100 degrees in a few days?
I'm laughing because I'm literally going from one extreme to the next. And if anyone is in the general tri-state area, it has been, like, I ran in a long sleeve shirt today. Mind you, it may have not been my smartest choice because I rolled the sleeves up. But it was cold enough to make me want to put a long sleeve shirt on.
Yes. I went to the gym at lunchtime and I was in just like a tank top and pants. And I was like, should I have a jacket? Like when I walked out, I was like, oh, it's like chilly. And then when I got out of the gym, I was like, okay, like I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
It was like 62 degrees, which I know, like, if you don't live in this area, you guys don't understand. It has rained like 90% of May and June so far. We're losing our minds here, but this next week coming up, so starting on Friday, Friday will be 84 degrees, and then by next Wednesday, it'll be 97. And apparently the humidity is going to be like anywhere from 60 to like 90%
or
something.
Which makes sense because it's been raining non-fucking stop. So all the dampness in the air.
Yeah.
So we're going from if everyone can just understand, take a moment.
It's this huge jump from like cold and dreary and rainy to like intensely hot and humid. Normally, I'm not going to complain about hot weather in the summer. That's when I want it to be hot. Like, I am a summer girl. I love summer. I don't want to say the hotter the better. I think like a nice 85 degree day is like my perfect summer day. And I've been complaining a lot about the rain, so I am excited for it to be hot and sunny,
but not 96% humidity.
Is going to kill me.
Yeah.
It's going to
kill me. I was talking to my mother-in-law quickly because I ran today. And like what stinks about having young children is when it rains. I mean, sure, you can go outside, but to a point, right? Like I'm not going to subject my 10-month-old to downpours, nor am I gonna do the same thing for my 2-year-old. Sure, I can give her a little umbrella, let her hop in like the puddles for a little bit, but like we're not gonna be out there all day.
No.
But on the flip side too, like sure, give us some heat, but like you can't have them outside for that long when it's a blazing degree. Like although like it's just, oh my god, I feel like I'm just stuck in this dang house and I'm over it.
I know. I'm just really hoping that after I think we get a week of like the crazy insane temps, and then I think it rains next Thursday, which hopefully breaks up the humidity before the 4th of July, and then we have like a really great 4th of July weekend. I'm manifesting that for us.
Same girl.
So anybody who's listening that's in the tri-state area, let's all manifest together.
Please.
That we just like get a really great, I want a really amazing, so I'm going to the Pride parade.
Oh, fun.
On the 29th, my brother and Erica are flying in. We're going to a party in Brooklyn, actually. So hoping for a really great weekend that weekend. And then I'm hoping for a really great 4th of July weekend. And then I'll take it from there. But let's just manifest great
weather.
Mother
Nature maybe not being so fucking extreme over here.
Yeah, no, I really just need July and August to be like really, really, really wonderful and enjoyable. And like that perfect, crisp. Which we never get. But I'm just trying to put the positive vibes out there.
I would just like sun, please.
Yeah.
But I will get sun on Thursday, whether it comes here or not, because I will be in Marco Island. But I laugh because like in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm going for a run when I get there. And I'm like, I'm probably going to have a heat stroke.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're going to complain about the humidity in New Jersey, please. The humidity in Florida, well, I mean, it is the West Coast, but still the humidity in Florida is going to wreck you.
I know. I'm like, you got to put your South Carolina boots back on real quick. You got to remember those days.
You have to like wake up like before dawn to like literally beat the humidity and the heat. Is Tom going?
No, he's not coming. He's going to watch Thy Children.
Oh. And, you know, the tables have turned, Tom.
Yeah. I mean, I was really trying to pitch for him to come. It's like a 5-star hotel. So I'm like, you're missing out. Like literally my entire company was like, wait, you're going? Do you know what hotel you're at? I'm like, yeah, the JW Marriott. They're like, no. And I'm like, what am I missing?
Yeah. I'm excited for you.
I cannot. Like I can wait, but like I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's not what we're here to talk about.
No. I mean, obviously we're here to talk about we're here to spill the tea. So we're here to talk about whatever the fuck we want, honestly. Anyway, sorry. I'm like, what are we going to start with? We're going to start with book news. in case you missed it, which I feel like the first bit of news nobody missed. It was kind of everywhere. But the Elsie Silver's Rose Hill series was just picked up by Amazon, which is like really exciting. But I'm very shocked that that is the series that they picked up. I 100% would have thought that they would have gone Chestnut Springs.
I thought so too.
One, Chestnut Springs is already a completed series, so you know exactly what you're getting. Two, it's definitely her most popular. So yes. Like, also, like, I feel like the vibes of Chestnut Springs is more like, makes more sense for a TV show because it's like a family dynamic, so it's easier, I think, to have like.
This is my two cents about adaptations.
I think we do need to relax on them a little bit.
Yes, this is getting a little out of hand, in my opinion. In my opinion, again, I could be wrong. I kind of almost wish, zero shade to Elsie Silver, because I freaking love that series more than life. I love all the things that she writes, right?
Yeah.
But I know you can't like, and this is why I'm saying maybe not for an Elsie Silver book, because how does one choose? But like almost taking a standalone and flipping it into a movie instead. In my mind, and again, please prove me wrong, Amazon, but I don't know. Like, I feel like this is, I don't want to say it's going to be like a boring show, but like.
I think it could definitely potentially be a very boring show.
Yeah.
So like, I love a good adaptation. I have watched things that I'm like, this is not good. Or it's just like, it's like good enough because it's kind of done poorly where I'm like, oh, I like it because it's bad. I don't want companies to just be buying the rights to books and series and like not putting in the effort to make them great. Like Bridgerton did this kind of adaptation, I think, really well in seasons 1 and 2. So the Bridgerton series as books, each book follows a different sibling. And like you kind of see the other siblings, but typically every book is like, there's the couple. It's the Bridgerton like child and their love interest. But when they adapted the books into the series, seasons 1 and 2 did a great job of like, there's a lot of differences, which you have to make in any adaptation because other like things just don't always. Yeah,
they don't translate well.
They don't translate all the time. But seasons 1 and 2 did a really great job of like introducing the family and like making us care about the siblings, but like really focusing on the main couple. Season 3 failed because they started kind of adding too much in.
Mm.
I think that there was just like too many other random storylines where I'm like, nobody cares about these people. Like, stop trying to make us care.
Yeah.
We're here for the romance and for the couple. So I think in this specific instance, like, obviously there's overlap. Like, the girls are friends. The guys have, like, their, like, little, like, bowling league. I just think that Chestnut Springs would have been easier to adapt because you would have very seamlessly gotten the siblings a lot easier, especially with, like, the family dinners and, like, everyone, like, kind of, like, being in and out of the ranch versus, like, having to create these friend groups. I just don't know. I mean, again, it's an adaptation, so they don't even need to do, like, one season per book. It could literally just be, like, these are the characters, and these are, like, who ends up with who, and they can just, like, kind of mesh them all together. I'm curious, but I think, and if we're going to keep adapting beloved series and books, they need to really put a lot of, I think, care and effort into doing it, because there's a lot of room for failure.
Agreed. Which, not to like segue off of Elsie Silver, which I mean, happy for her, we like her.
You know, I'm so happy for her. I'm just like, I'm just worried because I feel like it's like this is getting picked up, and this is getting adapted by Amazon, and this is getting adapted, and like I feel like they're just like cranking them out just because it's popular right now, and they're just trying to make money as fast as they can on like things that are popular instead of being like, hey, we're adapting this one thing and we're going to work on it for like this many years and it's going to be great, instead of like 10 that are like mediocre.
I agree. So Butcher and Blackbird is getting a movie. But yes, to me, and this is kind of like where the adaptation I think can take off, that I could see doing well, right? Like,
yeah,
kind of serial killer-ish vibes. Like, a movie makes more sense. Like even like a Holly Jackson, like the Good Girls got, I mean, I know that that's there, but like even her, the disappearance of Rachel Prince, like you can make that very thriller-esque, like kind of bordering on, I don't want to call it horror, but like a bit more of like a jumpier movie. Like I think when you have more suspense, I don't know, call me, maybe that's just my own brain thinking this way, but to me, I can see that making more sense than, yeah. And I know with the Bridgerton series, like everyone, like you're saying, like the first two seasons have worked out well, but like in my mind, I'm like, how are they going to do this? And again, yeah, that's also like, why I'm not in film.
So. Right. And again, too, like I always bring it back to Bridgerton just because I think seasons one and two are like absolute perfection, but like you can even look at, there's like a bunch of like Netflix shows. And I think there was that even, I don't know if it was on Netflix or Amazon. I watched recently, like something Canyon on net. You know what? Hold on. Josh Duhamel's in it. Ransom Canyon. And I think it's based off of books. It was like, and like they had a great cast. They had Josh Duhamel. They have Minka Kelly. Like, I just thought it was bad.
Mm.
And I think it was just like the script was corny. Like, it was just corny, did not translate. I didn't read the book, so I don't know if it was, like, adapted well or if just, like, when they, like, adapted the script, they just, like, corned it up.
Mm.
There's that other show on Netflix, Virgin River, which, like, I loved seasons 1 through 3. And then, like, it just kept going. And I was like, okay, like, this is just stupid. Like, it's like a soap opera, which is fine. I grew up watching General Hospital. I love a good soap opera. I call my mom still watches. I'm like, what's going on with Sam? Like, what's going on with Sunny? You know, whatever. But I just think, like, I don't want my, like, some books that I, like, really, really love to, like, turn into these, like, corny, soapy TV dramas. And I think romances are harder to adapt as series.
Yes.
Versus, like, if they...
A cutie like, little movie.
A cute rom-com movie. Please give me that. I just don't know how you turn these books into, like, 10-episode series without, like, dragging things out and, like, kind of, like, making them maybe... Again... The Summer I Turned Pretty, that whole series, I loved it. I know it's, like, for teens, but, like, obviously, like, we all love it. I read the series over 10 years ago. I think that they do a great job turning, like, not a lot of... I mean, the books are not very long. And they turn them into 10-episode seasons, and they've done a great job. So I think it really just depends
on who's behind
who's
it.
Who's working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... Amazon can sign on, but, like, who's doing the script, who's directing, who's cast? Like, I think that makes a very big difference. So I'm obviously going to withhold judgment until we see it, but I just worry that they're, like, everything is being picked up now. And then I also worry in the future, are authors just going to be, like, writing books, like, with the thought of, like, oh, I want this to be adapted? And so they're, like, more worried about, like, can this be a screenplay versus, like, can this be a great book?
I can see that.
But based on what you were saying about, like, the whole, like, thriller thing, like, kind of working more.
I think it just works a bit more.
Yeah. I'll say the Mindfuck series also was picked up.
Yeah.
Which, like, that, I'm like, oh, no, that could be great.
That could be terrific.
Yeah.
I'm in, like, you, like, Butcher and Blackbird and the Mindfuck, well, that has my interest. Like, yes. I would watch those before the DLC Silver's adaptation.
Yeah, like, I know when it comes out, I'm going to be, like, sat for it. But I think that if I'm like, this kind of fucking sucks, I'll be like, okay, guys, this kind of fucking sucks. Like, I'm not just going to say I like it just because I like her. So we'll see. I mean, again, we don't have, like, any information. We don't know who's cast. I don't know who's in charge of it. But it's just, like, one of those things. I'm like, do we need to have that adapted?
Do we need this?
There are some that I'm like, okay, I need this. And then there are some that I'm like, do I need this? No. Chestnut Springs I would have been more excited for. I think it's just because it's for maybe Rose Hill too.
Sorry, I keep I pulled up on my phone because I was going to, and I hit the freaking music button. Fucking annoying. You know what would be a good adaptation too? Since we're on the topic. I'm not finished yet. But The Thrashers by Julie Soto.
Oh, it's so good. I told you it was so good. And the audio is done really well.
The audio is fantastic. And it's been on my wish list since you've said it, because you got to do the arc. And that was, like, grouped into the weeks of everything else and their mother coming out. And somehow it kind of just trickled down. So I was like, oh, my God, I need something to get me out of my atmosphere slump. And I was like, this should do it because everyone is raving about this. So
yeah,
I don't think I have very much longer. I have only an hour and 25 minutes left. So
I loved it regardless of the ending, the way that it ends. So she hasn't announced if she's writing a second. I think she like wrote this and like with the way it ends is like it could just end there and you're just like, fuck. Or it can
continue.
It can go into a second. I wonder if
she wrote it with this like a let me see how it's received.
I think that's what she did because it's like her first like YA. She did like a lot of, I think like all of her books that have come out so far were books that she wrote as like fanfic that she just like adapted from fanfic into like real books. You know what I'm trying to say.
I'm picking up.
Yeah, please don't misquote me. Anyway, what was I saying? I think that this was her first that was
not something fanfic.
Yeah, I think. Again, don't quote me. I have no idea, but I'm pretty sure.
I will say too, like, I wish there was another term for YA because I feel though there are pockets of people out there that love a YA read, it could be interpreted very differently.
Yeah.
YA could be truly like a young adult, which these guys are, but have more of a, I don't want to say childish, but a younger vibe to it.
Yeah.
You could there's
definitely a difference between like, I feel like a YA romance versus like a YA like thriller.
Agreed.
I feel like the themes are different. Which
themes
makes
are different. I feel like the thrillers kind of incorporate, I don't want to say more mature characters, but a writing style, because even Maureen Johnson's, you'd think I remember this because this is one of my favorite series of hers, or just of YA in general. It's the Truly Devious series. Even though they are high school kids, they are of a higher educational standard, I'd say. Yeah. But it's a mystery. So there's just different components to it. And even though these guys are in high school, I'm getting like, you know what it almost kind of gives too? It gives like Pretty Little Liars vibes without giving little Pretty Little Liars vibes, if that makes any sense at all.
It's like a friend group and there's like a person who is dead. That's not a spoiler. Somebody's dead.
Someone's dead.
And then it's, I don't know. But yeah, no, I get what you mean. It's not at all like Pretty Little Liars, but it gives the same energy.
Yes. Like a little darkish at times too. Yeah. Like some secrets amongst the friends.
Well, I think like us being in our mid-30s, like, okay, I've read some really cute YA romances. Better Than the Movies by Liz Painter. Obviously, I've read The Summer I Turned Pretty, but I read that in my early 20s, so not far out from teenage years. I think that for us being in our mid-30s, like, I don't know that I want to read about, like, a 16-year-old falling in love and being like, this is the love of my life.
I don't.
But I don't mind reading about teenagers that are trying to solve a murder.
110%. That's why, again, if you are, like, I have those recs. Like, it is the disappearance of Rachel Prince or Price and the Truly Devious series. And I would say this as well, because it reads more mature.
Right.
But they're just younger characters.
Yes. Yeah. Our tastes have changed as we've gotten older. God. Same thing with, like, I know, with YA fantasy, because we loved, like, Rebel Witch and Heartless Hunter. But, like, in a fantasy book, like, I don't care how old you are.
No.
Obviously. Because, like, I've said it's it before. Said it again. Yeah, I don't like an age gap. But I don't mind, like, an age gap in a fantasy book. Like, I don't care if you're 500 and she's 19. Like,
same.
I do care if you're 50 and she's 19.
Yes.
100%. I think it's just our like, midlife. Oh, God, midlife. We kind of are.
Well, oh, my God. So, speaking of age.
Yeah.
The other day, someone was speaking to me. And they're like, oh, yeah, like, I have a daughter. She's 28. I'm like, yeah, it's, like, my age. And then afterwards, like, I looked at him and was like, yeah, like, 28, like, that's us. And he's like, Katie, we're kind of far from 20.
Okay. Listen, 28 is the age that I like to give myself. I've been 28 for the last 8 years. And if anybody wants to argue with me, say it to my face. I dare you.
For 7 years, you're over.
I'm older, yeah.
But so, okay, you're welcome. But like, I laugh because like, that doesn't seem much, but then you think of like 28 to 20. I'm just, I don't know, like we're getting so far away from 20s and it's a little frightening.
Yeah, no, like, okay, so I'm 8 years from 28, but then in 8 years, I'll be what? 8 years from now, I'll be 44.
That's wild. But then like, I see girls that I follow that are turning, that had just turned 40 or that are 40. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh, you're fucking hot. Like, all right. Like,
I think it's not to like completely go off on a tangent. I think when you're younger, certain ages seem so far off and so old because you're thinking of like your parents and like things like that. So like now that we've like hit ages, like I was 10 when my mom was like 20, when my mom was 38. So I was like 8. Yeah. Okay. My mom had me when she was 28. So like, same. I was like, oh my God, like my, like I'm like, I just remember being like, oh my God, you're so old. Like, you're in your 30s. Disgusting. And now we're in our 30s and I'm like, wait, I'm so young, beautiful, and vibrant. What do you mean? Like, I'm literally in my 20s.
I think of it like me to my mom now, because again, my mom was 28 when she had me. She was 31 when she had Gina. So I'm like, oh, like Deb does not give old vibes. Neither does Teresa, mom. Not the Teresa that I'm speaking to.
Well, she meant both of us.
Duh. But like, you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, so it gives hope. And I will say, those who are listening, like that jump from 29 to 30 is fucking frightening. But once you're there, I will say, and I think you will agree with me on this, I was scared as shit to turn 30 because I felt like I was going to be old. But but like somehow you're in your 30s and you kind of like look back, you're like, oh, I have my I don't have my shit together, but I have my shit together now. You know what I mean? Versus like in my 20s, like if you think of that, like 20 to 23, 24, the fuck was I doing? And then like once I feel like I hit 25, 26, I was like, all right, like you're figuring out your life a little bit. Like you're trying to save some money, your work. You know what I mean? Like it's just a vastly, it's just such a wide range of shit happening in your life in your
20s. 29. When I turned 29 that last year in my 30s, I
like you lived it up. I viciously remember this.
I was just like, oh, it's a Tuesday night. You want to go out?
Teresa was the yes man. If anyone knows what that movie is, Teresa was the yes man for the year of 29.
I really did. I was like, I said yes to everything. I was going out on Tuesdays. I was literally sleeping 3 hours, going to work the next day, stopping at McDonald's on my way to work so I don't barf. Like, I was really just like, this is the last time that I'm ever going to be able to have fun. And then I turned 30 and I was like,
oh shit, I can still do this.
I was like, oh, and I can like pick and choose the kind of fun I'm having now. Like I'll say this, Erica, my sister-in-law and we make the joke, but we're like only half kidding. Oh, excuse me. I didn't peak until I hit like 32. I look back at my like late 20s and I want to know, I was like not taking care of my face, my hair. There was no skincare, hair care. There was very little happening.
Also, the shit end of the stick when it came to fashion. Like I look at like these 20-year-olds now and I'm like, you're blessed because this was not us when we were 20s. Like,
except that some of them are now wearing what we were wearing.
Yeah, but they look better, Teresa. Okay,
we think they look better. I think we thought we looked great. Like now, like I remember when I graduated college, I was wearing a blazer. I was wearing blazers to the bar. I was like, oh,
that was in
business cash, and it's back
coming
now,
back. Though. Peplum tops. So I was someone was posting my peplum tops.
Peplum tops are coming back. I know.
Also, I will say in your 30s, too, you become more,
like, self-assured.
Self-assured, but, like, you also kind of don't give a fuck. Like, if someone's like, you want to go out, I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm no, and, like, but, like, no one bats an FOMO. Eye. Like, around you, they're like, cool, see you later. And I'm like,
mah. Yeah.
There's whereas, less... like, in your 20s, you're like, oh, my God, I don't want them to, like, hate me. And, like, I guess I gotta go. And, like, blah, blah, blah. And then they, like, guilt trip you into going.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think I just became more, like, kind of just, like, whatever. Like, this is kind of me. I do still say yes to kind of a lot of things that I should say no to, but I'm getting better at like just really thinking things through. And luckily, like all my friends are moms now, so I'm not getting like crazy requests like on like a Wednesday night anymore. But if you did want to do something, I am the friend to ask.
So true. So very true.
Anyway, speaking of teens, I guess I'll just jump into what I've been reading lately. I'm going to talk about you know, I haven't really read a lot since our last spilling the tea. So I'll just talk about two books that I kind of am going to rant a little bit about. And I don't want to say it's a rant. I do want to preface this by saying I don't want to disappoint anybody in what my opinions are coming up, but they're not great. They're not bad. They're just not great. So the first book I will start with is Releasing 10 by Chloe Walsh. And books 1 through 4. So Binding 13, Keeping 13. What are they? Oh my God.
I have no idea.
Saving 6, Redeeming 6. All 5 stars. All utter perfection. Masterpieces. Love it. Those she wrote as an indie author. I don't think she had like an editor. Like I'm sure like she had somebody that was like looking through it and stuff, but I don't think there was like a formal process while she was writing those. And I wouldn't change a goddamn thing about them. I don't care that they were like 800 pages. Like I love those 4. And then she's picked up by Bloom and she writes Taming 7. And there was definitely, you can tell that there was like now a difference in the writing and in the style. And I couldn't really put my finger on it when I was reading Taming 7. But I think that, so she's from Ireland. The books are set in Ireland in like the early 2000s. All the characters are born between like 1987 and like 1989. So they're, at this point now, they would be our age, but it's taking place when they're like in their high school, like end of high school years, or the first 4 books. First 5 books are kind of like set like that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The first 4, you can like definitely tell like this is in Ireland. This is an Irish writer. There's a lot of slang used throughout, but there was just like a way of her writing that I was just like, I felt very immersed. Like I could hear a whole Irish accent in my head while reading.
Okay.
Taming 7, I didn't have that same feeling. Like I was like, this has definitely been touched by somebody who is like not Irish, or it just been like touched by too many people that I felt like it kind of like lost her voice.
Like the authenticity of it.
A little bit. But I still liked the story. The story definitely changed a bit, but like not in a bad way. I gave Taming 7 4 stars. I was very excited to read Claiming 10. And then I got the ARC, which thank you to the publisher. That was so very kind. And I started it and I just like could, like I just didn't want to read it. Which is crazy because how much I loved the first. I'll say the first 5 because I really did enjoy Taming 7 as well. And my issue with, there's a lot of discourse about this last book. And you guys know because I've talked about this and like you know, Katie, because I've definitely talked to you about it. But I have like no problem reading like difficult things in books. Like one of my favorite books of last year was A Little Life, which is probably one of the most horrifically graphic, like traumatic things I've ever read in my entire life. No, like dead ass, the worst thing I've ever read.
Because I know you though, I in my mind I'm understanding of like
the severity of you saying that. So Claiming 10 is very bad. There's a lot of childhood sexual assault that occurs like over the span like 10 plus years. It ends up being longer, but like the first 400 pages though, it's not, my issue with the book isn't how much trauma there was endured. My issue is that I don't think we needed 400 pages of the repetitive, like, it almost, okay, so the book starts, for anybody who's, like, unfamiliar, and Katie, because you're not. Claiming 10 starts, it's like a flashback. So we're back in, like, the early 90s, and, like, it spans, I have a timeline of it. It spans, like, over 10 years, I think.
Oh, damn.
So we get Lizzie when she's, like, 3 years old. And Lizzie also has like a lot of mental health issues. Like she's bipolar, but she's also like abused from a very, very young age. I'm not going to sit here and bore you guys with what the timeline is because I'll get like really in the trenches about it. Anyway, I just felt like the first 400 pages were like almost as if Chloe Walsh thought that the readers were dumb. Okay. Like, it felt like she was like, oh, I have to really hammer it home how bad Lizzie has had it. Like, the reader needs to know every single horrific thing that has ever happened to her in her entire life in great detail, or they won't understand her character. And I also just, like, again, I think that if she would have broke, instead of being like, hey, I'm going to be reading about six-year-olds, like, having play dates, like, I don't know, like, I just did not need that. I think that she could have started, not even at present day, like, she could have started, like, when they get to, and again, the schools in Ireland are, like, formatted differently. I'm just going to say, like, middle school, high school. And then done flashbacks. So we were like, oh my God, this is, she's having a breakdown. We're flashing back to a moment that happened that's, like, causing this. I think we could have understood that. I don't need to be reading about a six-year-old on a play date. I don't need to be reading about a 12-year-old talking about, like, getting their first boner. I don't know. I just think that it was written in a way that felt like, oh, my readers won't understand this character unless I write 400 plus pages of her being abused. And it just, the writing just, like, wasn't, I just thought that the writing wasn't good. Where I like her writing in the first five, this book just felt very poorly written. I think it's, like, it's weird for me as a, we were just saying this as, like, a 36-year-old woman to be reading about a 12-year-old, like, feeling, like, turned on. I don't need it. I don't want it. That doesn't help me understand the characters or what they're going through. Like, Huey getting a boner.
Like, pubescence. Like, what? Yeah, like, what? Like, okay.
Again, like, I'm also just, like, I also am just, like, uninterested. And, again, the thing, too, that I'm, like, okay, the writing was bad is because these kids are, like, 6 years old at one of the points. And they're speaking like they're fucking, like, 15. They're speaking like they're 20. Like, I just don't think the storytelling was good. I don't think that the writing was good. And I really struggled until I got to, like, the last 300 pages when they were kind of, like, older and in high school. And I was like, now I can kind of maybe enjoy the story a little bit more. But I really think that if she had formatted the story differently, she could have kept in a lot of, like, what we find out.
Okay.
But she could have started early. Anytime that Lizzie was, like, kind of, she becomes manic. She, like, kind of, like, has these episodes. It's, like, really sad, and it was really hard to read in that aspect, but I think that we could have learned more about her past while she's having those episodes through flashbacks than, like, 400 pages of just, like, playdate, abuse, manic episode, playdate, abuse, manic episode.
Who's, like, abusing her? A parent?
No, her sister's boyfriend. And he's also abusing, like, another kid in town. And the thing is, too, is that, like, every adult, like, people are like, oh, like, we don't like this guy. We don't want him around. He makes us uncomfortable. And the adults are like, no, he's fine. Which, like, I do get it, too. This is the 90s. Like, people weren't talking about things, like, as they are now. Like, I do understand that there was, like, a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on now. There's, I think, a lot more going on in the past because it was just, like, a taboo subject and people didn't talk about it. And it starts when she's really young, so she doesn't realize that something bad is happening to her.
Makes sense.
There was, like, a really graphic scene, and sorry, I'm, like, trigger warning if whatever, but he gets her pregnant, and he, like, performs a hanger abortion on her. Again, horrible. I think that we could have gotten that in a flashback, and we didn't need to then read 400 pages of all the abuse he's doing to her for us to understand, like, okay, this is so fucked.
Yeah, like, the... Yes.
You know, like, what I mean? Like,
you can throw a couple in there. And I just think that it
should have just, I think that the book should have been like 500 pages max, formatted differently, that we're getting current day and flashbacks. And I just think it would have told the story better. That's my problem. Not with the content in the book, with the way the story was being told. I don't think it was told well. And I think her writing just didn't sound like her.
That's a shame.
That's my final thought on that. I gave it 3 stars because I think the ending did redeem part of it. I think that it came when they were, like, older. I was like, okay, like, this is kind of like,
is he dead? Can we kill him?
I think that he will end up dead. He's still alive.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And that's the thing, too, like, the first two books, they're happening, like, from, like, the time that Shannon is, like, 15. It's basically, like, 2 years of school. And then the next two books, the first book in that like little duet goes back in time. And then it kind of catches up where the last two left off. And then we get like a little bit past that. And then Taming Seven starts kind of around like where the fourth book like ends. There's like, there are flashbacks, but it's like mostly like in the future. And now this book just goes all the way back in time to the night, like 10 years earlier. And I'm just like, I just, 10 plus years earlier, technically. And I was just like, I just don't need 400 pages of children.
I really commend you and anyone else who reads these because I think I'd rather throw myself out this window than read anything like that. And yeah. It's not because I don't want to acknowledge that like shit like that happens. Like I'm aware.
Yes.
But like, I think give me a documentary.
It could be very triggering. These are like books that I wouldn't recommend to you.
No.
Because I know like what your triggers are. These are definitely like, I remember when I read Binding 13 and Keeping 13, I was like, Katie, don't read them.
Like literally never picked them up. I couldn't handle my sister's Keeper. I was a fucking mess at the age of like 16. Give me a real life documentary and I can somehow stomach that.
No, it's very difficult to read. And it's great that she's writing it because I think it is something that obviously happens a lot and like should be reflected. I just don't think that the storytelling was done well. And I don't think that the writing was great. So, like, it's not about the content.
No, it's about the way it was delivered.
The way that it was delivered.
I hear you.
So that's my issue with it. Because I feel like a lot of people are, like, fighting about...
People, I just quickly looked it up on Goodreads. And, like, people are fucking salad eating for this. And I'm like...
I mean, okay. I wasn't allowed to review it. They blocked reviews for, like, the first, like, 2 weeks. Because people... And we've said this before too. I'm sorry, I'm like rambling.
No, go for
people
it.
People will hear something online about a book and then they'll be like, oh, I don't want to read this. I'm going to go in and I'm going to give it 1 star. So I think people were going in and giving 1 star. And.
Oh, okay.
And it was like kind of flooding it, but like it was people who hadn't read it. They blocked reviews. But yeah, I think that I'm like in the minority as far as like. Mutuals go on how I felt about it. It has really good reviews on Goodreads, but I think for the first 2 weeks people who like I didn't know that I didn't have a review on it until like right this second because I was like, oh, you can finally review it, that's great. But yeah, some people like absolutely loved it and devoured it. It wasn't for me specifically. I just didn't enjoy the writing. Will I read the next book? 100%. But if I don't think she like picks it up, I don't know if I would continue to read after that.
Makes sense.
And that's how I feel.
Well, please tell me you have a happier book to talk about after that one.
Well, The Night and the Moth.
Oh, yes.
Did you finish?
No, I haven't even started yet.
Oh, I thought you did start it. Okay.
No.
Well, I won't give any spoilers. The Night and the Moth, which is book one in Rachel Gillig's new series, which is the Stonewater Kingdom series. One Dark Window and Two Twisted Crowns are like two of my favorite fantasy reads ever. I remember like I read One Dark Window. I just like downloaded it on KU and I sat here all day and like I could not stop. Her writing, there is just something about her writing that is, it's a fantasy world that you can easily jump into, which again, we talk about this all the time. It's so easy to jump into. And then there's just something like very like immersive about it. It's like very like, atmospheric. I'm like, I can like picture it and I know exactly like where we are and like what we're doing, and I've never been here before, but I can like see it all very clearly. And the characters are just like right off the bat like very easy to like,
okay,
or like root for in a way. So like her name, which I'm not gonna give it away, but we'll call her Six.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure she's Six. Yes. Yeah, I'm just gonna say she's Six. I don't think her name is like a spoiler, but I know that she goes by Six, or she goes by a number for a while. I think it's Six. Anyway, there are these like women, they're like diviners, and they live, I'm gonna dumb it down, they all live on the in this church, and there's like a woman who's like the overseer of them, and they are all like basically like orphans. And they're brought in and they have to like go through this like whatever, this something happens and like they have to like give up like 10 years of their life divining, and then they're allowed to like leave and like go live like a normal life. And people go there and they can like ask for like a basically like, what's the word I'm like thinking of? Like they're for kind of like their fortune being told, but like whatever. And the last king died, the knights have to vote on who the new king will be. And the knights are all nobles. So they vote, they elect this new king, they call him the Child King. And he comes to have his like fortune divined or whatever. And of course, one of the knights is like, he's brooding and he hates the diviners and he has eyeliner on and like he's dark and sexy. And then there's like a gargoyle and he calls everybody Bartholomew. And he's like the only one, like there's a bunch of gargoyles, but he's like the only one that like really like has like his own thoughts. I don't want to give anything away. That's like literally all I'm going to say, but it's so good. And there's a point, something happens where I feel like you'll be like, oh, I think I know where this is going. And you'll be like, maybe I'm wrong. You're probably right.
Okay.
And that's all I'm going to say. The way that it ended, I was like, when is the next book coming out?
Okay.
But it was really good.
I downloaded it because I figure I'll read it on like the flight. Like if I don't want to listen to something, I can read on the flight. Like I just wanted one of those. So let me just like bang out a quick little palate cleanser book. I don't want to say palate cleanser because it's a cutie that I'm reading right now. Okay, I'm very excited.
You know, I think you'll really, really love it. You will love the gargoyle. And it's more like there obviously is romantic elements to it, but it's not romance heavy.
Love that.
Yeah.
I've been stepping away a little bit from romance, but I have three that I've done. So I'm like, this is no, I'm wrong. do you have any more books?
I have like two more things that I can say, but you go first. I've been talking way too long. I like feel my like I'm getting vocal fry.
Oh, I cannot with you. So I did The Love Haters by Catherine Center. I did it on audio. I will say the rom-commers is still my prop, like my favorite Catherine Center book. But this of course was super, super cute. I can't remember too much about it, so take that with a grain of salt.
But that sounds like a palate cleanser. Then.
It's very much a palate cleanser, but I will say it's one of those books when you're in it, though, you're enjoying it.
Okay.
So it's not like I sat there and I was like, I don't feel like continuing. It was just, I like this. I will say I thought it was a very cute concept because at first I was like, I don't know how this is going to work, but it's cute. I did do my favorite Bad Decision by Elizabeth O'Rourke. True Elizabeth O'Rourke nature. It was adorable. Not my favorite. I will say the Devil series is definitely mm-hmm. number one. I do think she handled the sister's ex very well. I'll just leave it at that. So if you want to read it and you're kind of like, ugh, that's not really my cup of tea, mine either. But I think she did it very well to the point where I wasn't bothered by it at all. I am reading. What am I reading? Well, The Thrashers I'm doing on audio, but on my eyeballs are reading, what's it called? Sorry, give me a minute. Not Safe for Work by Nisha Tooley. I think that's how you say her name.
Okay.
She's an engineer. I mean, engineers are predominantly male heavy roles. So she's been looked over a ton at work, passed up for promotions. She was formerly with a boss or someone of a higher stature at like her previous place of employment. Of course, that went uphill and terrible, or downhill, not uphill.
I was going to say, it went uphill, that's great.
Went downhill, and of course, like she had to quit. So like she got picked for like a retreat, and like that's funny because like the whole company that she works for, like in that brand, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, here we go, like another freaking. Here's, you know, my nepo baby little son getting picked for another role, and like my nephew doing the same thing. But the son's a good worker. The nephew's just kind of like riding high on everything.
Of course,
like, we're just going for the cake because the cake's always good. And then she gets chosen to go on a trip. So I'm not very far into it. It is cute so far. One bed trope will 100% be present. They only have one hotel room, so I'm like, oh, we're gonna get one bed. So. It's cute so far. decent ratings on
Goodreads.
Sorry, I have no brain cells left.
Is that it?
That's literally all I've done.
Okay, fine. Trust Me Always, which is book 6 in the Boys of Avix series. So Say You Swear was book 1. And that was my first Megan Brandy book. And it was one of my favorite books of 2023. I think is when I read it. Obsessed. I haven't reread it since. I'm almost afraid to just because of like my opinions on the next two books. But I will say that when I read it, one of my favorite books of that year, and I think it would probably still fall on like a very like high list of books that I loved.
Okay.
And then I read Promise Me Not last year, which was book 2 in the series. And it was literal dumpster fire garbage. Garbage book. Garbage everything. I hated it. I have a list of books on my Goodreads that I would not recommend to my worst enemy. And that book is on there. Okay. I hated book 2. I read book 3.
So of course you fucking read book 3, you weirdo.
I have to give it another. I'm probably going to read book 4 too. I'm like, now I have to finish it. You know? Book 3, again, like not good. Not bad. Not good though. I was like, I think Say You Swear is the exception to the rule with this author. I think that she kind of, I don't know why I'm in like a mood to be mean. I think she like kind of sucks. She's just not for me. So I completely, if you like her, like this is not an attack against you. Okay. I just don't think I like her writing.
We all have those authors.
Yeah. The only book of hers that I've liked is Say You Swear. And I have tried a few of her other books. And I just like, don't think they're done. Like, these are college romances. I honestly just want to look at her and be like, babe, why don't you just write an adult? Why don't you just write somebody who's in their late 20s or early 30s? Why don't you just do that? Because I don't know. I don't think I should be reading about 20-year-olds who are like talking about like how like they just want to be moms and like they just want to like they're just gonna like drop out of college and get pregnant. And like the one girl, and again, like trust me, I feel it. I'm an infertile girl. I'm all for the fertility conversations. Do them as young and as often as you want. But like
true.
I don't know. Like I don't really care about reading about a 20-year-old like who's like, I might not be able to have children one day. Like, okay, like no, like I get it. That's very mature. And it's something that 20-year-olds should be thinking about at least a little bit. But it's the way that she like writes it where I'm like, are we in college or are we adults? Like,
yeah, like what are we
talking? Like, again, like,
just,
okay,
so just bump up the age.
Just bump. I just feel like 26, she just like, bumped 27. The age up. Like they have these like conversations and they do these things. And like the parents are okay. So there's like a friend group. Mason and listen, I'm not even going to say their names because I don't remember 98% of them. Ariana, is that? And like, this is from the book that I actually like. Noah Riley's girlfriend. Okay. They're twins. Then there's this girl. Don't remember her name. The boy that she likes. And then there's a boy named Chase. All of their parents are like best friends. And the parents bought their 18-year-old kids as like, I think it was like a high school graduation gift. They bought them a beach house in California. So again, like right now too, I'm confused. Are you all loaded? Because how do you afford a beach house in California? And then like, they like live on farms, which like I'm not saying that in a bad way because you can, obviously a lot of farmers yeah. can be fucking loaded. But the vibe that I'm getting is that that's not the case. And then like the boys are all like amazing football players and they're like all going to get drafted. But they like go to a school that's like not as good at football because like they all like the friend group of five like all promised that they would all stick together. And the girls like weren't smart enough to like get into a better school.
Why are the girls not smart enough?
And like, right. Right. Okay. Why are the girls not smart enough to get into the better school? Maybe they dumbed themselves down to go to this school for the boys. Second of all,
I don't believe that every single boy is getting drafted to the NFL either.
No. And like, oh, they're all just like so good at football. Okay, fine. There's like an extended friend group that like doesn't really make sense. And then there's this beach house that they like all like go to and like they have. And then, like, the one girl, like, just wants to be a mom. Like, she's like, I'm literally in college just to, like, hang out with my friends. But, like, I don't want to have a career or, like, get a job. She's like, I just want to be a mom. Which, there's literally nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
But I just think it's crazy to write that. I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this is not to offend anybody. I just think that's kind of crazy. Especially when you're like 20 to be like, my only ambition in life is to be a parent. Like, I'm only paying to go to college so that I can like meet a man to like get me pregnant. Like, it literally just like, it's so nuts. But I excused it because I really liked the first book. Anyway, the second book, the girl is like 18. She has a baby. And so she like, again, like, I don't know what Megan Brandy's like thing is with like getting young girls pregnant. And then in the third book, the female main character, like her like major, I actually forget what her, it's like, it's education. Like, she wants to be a teacher, but she like works in like the daycare, which again, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's just some like weird, like Megan Brandy has a young girl getting pregnant, wanting to be a mom kink. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know why like every 18, 19, 20 year old girl is like so concerned
about getting pregnant.
About getting pregnant. And again, I'm making a very large generalization when I say this. But they're in California, which is similar-ish, I think, to the East Coast, where we do things a little bit later in life than maybe like the South or the Midwest. Yeah. So I just don't know. I don't know. I just don't think I like these books.
No, I hear you. But I do, because as someone who lived in the South, not for a very long time, but like, I cannot tell you how many girls, couples that like I would watch graduate high school.
Yeah.
Get into college. I was 26 and 27 at the time.
Yeah.
Not engaged, which is fine.
No, like your timeline is your timeline, but
yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, to each their own. But it was a culture shock for me. I was not used to this. So this,
right.
Not that I would ever question anybody, because like, I am no one to judge, but it was very shocking to me that these kids would get out of high school, get into college, and sometimes within the first couple years of college be engaged.
Yeah, it's not something that happens a lot from where we're from.
Yeah, so it was a very big culture shock. Yeah, so
I think California would be similar.
Yeah,
because it's like, I feel like coastal, and if you live near a city, like that just, you're just normally it's older. You're normally in like your at least mid-20s when you get engaged. That's just like the norm for this area. And I think that it's the norm for California too. I'm just making, again, a generalization. Please do not come for me. I feel like I've had like a lot of like crazy opinions this episode.
This is where we're from. This is what we're used to. So when you step outside of it and you see something else, it's, again, it's not like a, why are they doing this? It's just more of a, I didn't know this was a thing.
Again, also too, like, I'm not like, oh my God, if you read this book, you're crazy because you like this. And like, this is so, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Again, I think it's just lazy. Like you said, like, oh, the girls weren't smart enough to get into the better school. Like, and now like their only aspirations are being moms. Like, I'm sorry, it's 2025. Like, girls are smarter than boys. Legitimately, they are. Look at the stats. And secondly, like, they can like aspire to be whatever the fuck they want. And if they want to be moms and teachers and whatever, good for them.
Fuck yeah, man.
But like, I think that out of the three female, like, the boys get to be like all-star athletes, like making millions of dollars going to the NFL, and the girls just all get to be fucking homemakers. No.
I will say, when I was on my field hockey team in high school for all 4 years, we were the sport that had the highest GPA every single year.
Yeah.
Well, bam.
I'm just saying. Know what? I think I said this to Liz at her event in Brooklyn. I asked the question, and I think we might get one from her, because Liz, this is why I love Liz Tomforti. I'm totally off topic right now. But all of the women in her books, they all like are so unapologetically themselves. They're all like strong-willed. They're all like making their own fucking decisions. And like, they're just like thankful to have these men in their lives. They don't need them though.
But I think that's the way we're all, I will say, I feel like there's been a bit of a shift in recent years for this, because females as a whole are a minority, right? Like, compared to men.
Yeah.
So that's that. But like, it is nice to see, because like, I feel like you can relate to this as well. Like, my mom raised my sister and I to be like, hey, you should get an education and find a job, because you should rely on no one. Like, yeah. But I feel like that was, like, a shift that they went through to teach this generation. And now, as a whole, like, I feel like we're shifting.
Yeah.
As, like, females as one are shifting. Well, you know, men out there, too. They're, like, people are helping to shift the narrative of, like, we are very capable.
Yeah. But what I want to see in a book is I want to see a female athlete. She can be doing any sport. I don't fucking care what the sport is. Female athlete, and then just like the man is a baker, or the man is a teacher, or the man is
a reporter
or something. Just like something. I need to see this flipped, which I think, like, obviously as romance readers, like, we probably find it sexier when like that, like the male athlete, because like, if you know, that's hot. But I want to see the female athlete, and then like the man who's just kind of like doing a normal, basic human job. The accountant and the pro tennis player, like, or something. Like, you know what I mean? I think it would be cool to see that.
It just sucks that, like, female athletes don't get paid as much as male athletes. But, like,
which is a whole other
But, like, I feel like there's been a lot of coverage, though, in women's sports. Like, Caitlin Clark. Like, I mean, even going back, like, the Williams sisters. Like, fucking tennis rock stars, man, right? Like, like,
let's get a gymnast.
Yeah. And, like, oh, my God. Like, Simone Biles. Like, like, she has like set so many like records that I don't can't, like, she's gonna break her own records.
An astounding athlete. And it's funny, I mean, her husband is also an athlete, but like, I don't know, I couldn't tell you his
name. Who he is, but I can tell you all about her. She's fucking badass, right?
So I need like the female athlete and the accountant love interest or whatever he ends up being. I just need somebody to write this. If you've ever read a book where it's like kind of like role reversal, I need that.
I have two on my TBR, but they're like,
normally if you get a female athlete, the like the male counterpart is also an athlete.
Yeah.
I just need female athlete, man who works in an office.
I agree. And not like female athlete that's like a amateur athlete, like running marathons on like the weekend.
Top
like,
of her game.
Yeah. And like receiving a paycheck because of the sport she is playing.
Yeah. Like just because we just read Rewind It Back. I want somebody who's at, like, the top. I need a female who's at the top. A woman. Sorry, I keep saying female. Woman who's at the top of her sport. And then, like, a bartender. Why not?
Give it to us.
Give it to me. Give me a woman in charge.
I'm with you, girl. Let's see it.
Anyway, I read, before we, like, log out, I read a few more historical romances.
I like how Teresa also said, like, oh, I didn't read this much. This has been the Teresa podcast today.
I've only talked about, like, four books. I've just ranted about all of them. I was about to fall asleep before I logged in, and then you guys just really got me going.
You literally were like, I was about to fall asleep, and that was the door.
No, I have nothing to say about them. I have nothing to say about them besides the fact that I've read a few more and I like them. So if you're curious, go look at my Goodreads. Anyway, next week, Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid, which Katie is obsessed with, and I am halfway through.
I'm honestly contemplating going to the bookstore to buy copies to give to people so they can read it.
I mean, at this point, I know I just need to go back and read Carrie Soto Is Back, because it's the only one of her books I haven't read, because I hated Malibu Rising so fucking much.
There's your female athlete.
She's like not likable.
No.
Because like anytime a female is like probably,
but
like,
she's so unapologetically her. Like, she kind of doesn't care. And I kind of love that.
Yeah.
It's really good. Very character driven, which is shocking for me. But I very much enjoyed it. The audio is done really well.
Okay. So next week we're going to be talking about Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid. The first week of July, we're going to do, by the way, Katie, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a...
You and I are learning it first.
A mid-year recap.
Okay.
So be prepared. We're just going to talk about our favorite books so far of 2025 have been. And then I have not thought about any more in July past that, because I don't even know what's coming out in July. No, I don't know.
I weirdly don't have a handle on anything for the summer.
No, me either. There are a few books that are on my TBR. You know what? Maybe we could take this offline. But okay, first week of July, definitely mid-year recap.
Okay,
stay tuned for that. But I'm thinking maybe a little mystery. I'm looking at my TBR card.
You know, I will do a mystery.
Yeah.
You'll have to limit the book.
Anyway, that is all. That is all we have for you today. It's literally been an hour. I'm so sorry.
This is all Teresa has for you today.
I am ending this on a disclaimer. That if I said anything that hurt, upset, or offended anybody, not my intention. Those are just my feelings on these books. And I'm sorry. And on that note, Katie Jean, can you please? Because I need to stop.
Oh, yes,
I need to
stop talking. Here. I'm here.
Sometimes I'm like, can I just do this by myself? Like,
I get kicked off my own show.
I'm like, you know, we don't need Katie anymore. I have a lot of thoughts and opinions, apparently. It's fine. I'm kidding. I would never do this without you.
I would kill you. And I can find a couple ways because I do know a mystery or two. Right on a body.
So yeah, guys, if I go missing, call the cops. It's Katie.
But I don't like to read about any of that stuff. Anyway. Kidding. I kind of do. I'm doing the book goodbye. Are we done?
Yeah, no, we're done. We're done. You can say goodbye now.
We're getting unhinged. We need to leave.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, suckers.